Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Purge your iPhones. We'll show you how.
Really? I thought we were doing something else today. Well, I will show you some subversive software.
And sandboarding has never been so much fun.
It's time for iOS Today. Sandboarding. iOS Today time. Hello, Megan Maroney.
Hello, Leo Laporte.
I just can't tell you how much I like your new look.
Oh.
I feel like I have a completely new co-host on this show.
Really?
Yes. Huh. So, for that reason, I decided to wear epaulets.
Oh, those are quite nice. I like that a lot. I said we were purging our iPhones. You were confused.
I'm confused.
It's basically the same thing. We're going to the 10 most important iPhone.
Our desert apps. Island apps.
Yeah, desert island apps. That's good.
Have you, I think it was on the BBC, it's a old British program called Desert Island Discs, where you were asked if you were on a desert island, and I think it was only one or two records that you would get to bring with you and you would listen to forever. And so we're going to do the 10 apps. 10 isn't enough, as we learned very quickly, that are kind of, for us, must have. Mine is a very eclectic list.
Yeah, mine is, I think mine is not that surprising, but it was a good exercise to do.
Yeah, it was, because, and I guess what you're saying is you could get rid of everything else. But what I found very quickly was that I use probably 15 to 20 apps every single day. Mm-hmm. And then there's another set of maybe 50 apps that I use once a month or more. So I couldn't really get rid of all those apps.
You use
I need
50
them.
Apps a day?
20 apps a day, probably,
Oh,
yeah.
20. Whoa.
Because, so what I took as the exercise, and I probably misunderstood, but is I left out the apps that come with your iPhone. Those are on your iPhone. You can delete them or hide them, like the Stocks app, and I have to admit, I never use the Stocks app.
No, get rid of that.
But there are Apple apps I use every day, and if I could take that out, then I can maybe boil it down to 10 apps that I really have to have. But that would include messages and mail, mm-hmm. and of course, phone and Safari. There are apps on your iPhone that are just kind of requirements.
Right. Well, let's start with me, because because that's my new look.
I like your new case,
okay,
by the way.
So can first
I,
of all,
wait,
I
wait,
my,
wait a minute.
Okay.
Let's see that.
Yes, this is the pad and quill. They did not send me this.
That's the one that comes with the coaster.
It didn't come with a coaster. We'll get to that later.
Okay.
This was part of my 10 cases for the iPhone.
And that's
10.
The one you ended up with.
And yeah, you bought this one, so you paid good money for it. Thank
no,
you.
I didn't. Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I bought it with my credit card, so I got the points, and then I expensed it. So you can write it off on your taxes or whatnot. That's the way we work around here.
That's an interesting choice, actually, because you tried for a while the wallet cases.
Yeah, I like the wallet cases okay, but I keep too many things in my wallet.
Yeah.
So. All right. So here's what I was left with after much cogitating and deleting and moving around. I like how I kept 16. So I know we're going to get it down to 10. We'll do that.
Tell me I had to delete them from the front page of my phone.
Well, I think that's nice to have everything that you use. I mean, if you use 20 apps a day, then you know, you're in trouble. But okay, so let's remove the stock apps. So stock Apple apps. So that's Maps, Home, Settings, App Store, Notes.
Yeah, there'd be already ten, seven, right there. Not to mention messages and phone.
Mm-hmm. So here are the ones. Here's my lights that I use every day to turn off and on my lights. My noon lights. I've definitely gotten used to these. They were a struggle at first, but this controls my house lights, and I use it constantly because everybody leaves all the lights on, and so I, you know, I'm in my car outside.
All
I'm
of
like,
the lights in your house are attached.
No,
to
all of the downstairs lights.
Wow,
so all, yeah, and we have a bunch of, you know, the canister lights, and so this is very handy for me because I'm sitting in the car and I'm like, oh, everybody left the lights on.
No, in fact, the last thing I did as I left the house is I turned off all the lights by hand. I have Hue lights in my office, and when I walk in, they come on. And so I have a motion sensor.
Yeah,
so that eliminates the app, although you could use the app.
These have a motion sensor in the nighttime, which is really nice. So mm-hmm. that if you go down in the middle of the night to get a glass of water, it just little dim lights come on.
Oh,
so
that's it knows not to blind you. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
And it has vacation mode too, so that it remembers what I'm doing. And then when I'm on vacation, it does it. So home, Snapchat. I can't get rid of the Snapchat. I don't snap a lot, but I can't get enough of the filters. Because I'm a filtery kind of person.
Oh.
See how much better I look with that?
And you have a little ball of yarn. You're a kitty cat with a ball of yarn instead of a microphone.
So that's essential. That looking. I use every single day.
Do you really?
Yeah, I'm going to send that to my daughter.
Is that how you stay in touch with your kids?
Only the 13-year-old. I mean, only the 14-year-old has. The 12-year-olds don't have Snapchat yet.
Not till next year.
Yes. yeah, their birthdays are in April.
is that their birthday present? Now you can go on Snapchat.
Yeah. So I've been experimenting with the Newton Calendar app, which I really like.
Well, let me see that. I never heard of that.
So
is it like a Newton?
I use a Newton for email. So it's
nothing
a
to do with the Apple Newton.
No.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody should write that app. We should have an Apple Newton app, and then you could have your Newton calendar. Would actually be you'd have to pull out your stylus, and mm-hmm. you'd write lunch, and it would say farm. It'd be great.
It would. So I like this because it has different count. Like I don't have an art club meeting at 10 a.m. That's actually my mom.
Her calendar's shared with you.
Yes.
That's nice.
So that I can know where they are. Does this happen to you if you use Google Calendar or another calendar app? Like everything from your Apple calendar just appears. Do you ever have that where it's like, why is that in there four times? That I'm still trying to figure out.
Yeah, that's
Does that ever
nice.
Happen to you?
No.
Periodontist on Friday.
So you have synced this with both your Apple calendar and your Google calendar.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's pretty similar.
Are you going to show me all 10 and then I show you all 10? Is that how we want to do this?
Yeah, that's how we're going to do it.
Okay.
Because that's the, otherwise I won't get to talk at all. We know how this works. Let's just use this as the conch.
the talking hub, the talking pod.
When my hand is on it, I get to speak. Okay. I'll just keep my hand here all the time. Yeah, I'm going to show you all 10. Hipstamatic. I use that pretty regularly, too. That's just a filter for taking really cool pictures. Here, smile. As opposed to, like, me going through a bunch of different filters, like, it picks the best one. Which that was really nice,
That's the
it?
Good-looking filter.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could change the filter here, but I really like this, and it keeps all my photos there.
So most of your pictures you take with Hipstamatic?
I take a lot of them with Hipstamatic. If it's just like Milo.
Well, that's old school. That's very
piano.
Old school.
Yeah.
Literally,
actually. Yeah, it is.
That's sepia tone.
I like it.
Yeah.
If it's like something that I feel like he's just sitting at the piano, it might like look arty if I used a filter.
This program originally was designed to kind of duplicate Lomo photography. The Hipstamatic was like to duplicate a light leak, like a bad, cheap camera. But I guess now it's really more of like a lot of filters, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably like showing my age by thinking that like those kind of filters are still cool.
Hipster.
But I do.
You're a hipster. You have two now on your top 10 are taking pictures of yourself.
Yeah.
Two of them.
Yeah.
Just a word of warning.
No, Snapchat is communicating with my 14-year-old daughter. You got to use all the tools that you
it's
have.
It's true. It's go to the kids where they are.
Go where they are.
Which is when they leave immediately. That's why Facebook lost 2 million under 25 users last year because mom and dad were there. It's like,
right.
Getting out of here.
Google Photos. I also use it.
Gotta be
love
in the
it.
Top
yeah,
10.
Yeah, that's
doesn't
not.
It?
Yeah.
But do you use it more than Apple Photos? Oh, that's terrifying.
This is a Snapchat photo that it's a filter that makes you frown. I tried so hard to smile in this photo and
it really had to distort your face to turn that smile upside down.
I also love this is in my Google Photos and like Google sees this and its AI is trying to figure out what to do
with
it.
What the hell is this?
Like what?
Are those just out of curiosity, are those beads actual size?
I think those are not filtered.
Just your face.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a look.
Yeah.
I want to get that look.
I have Spotify and...
I noticed you have Google Photos and Apple Photos next to each other. So really...
So here, let me tell you what I have here. I have all the listening
and
Twitter.
You're organized.
All the photos.
Yeah.
All like the productivity and then other. That's what I have. So these are actually my least used. I went from least used. I ignored the home app, but like that's how you control your HomePod and that kind of thing. So I should really put a different song on that. Kendrick Lamar, he's going to do some cursing.
That's a cursing song. That's actually what it's called, the cursing song.
Yeah, so I do use both of them.
But you're going to pick of the 10, you're going to say Google Photos would be in the top 10.
Yes. And I also use Apple Music and Spotify.
Yeah,
and that's merely because we discussed this before. I'm locked into a year of paid Spotify because of my New York Times subscription so I have both.
Yeah.
And that's my podcast app of choice, Pocket Casts. Love it.
Now you're making me think all these apps I left off the list. That's an important one, Pocket Casts. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I use it. These are the ones that I use every day.
Yeah.
And here's what I've got down here in my dock. These are my communication apps down here. So HipChat, that's how you communicate with me and I communicate with you. And that's how Jason and I communicate. Well,
that's our kind of corporate communication.
Yeah, so that's that. And then this is how sometimes you also communicate with me. That's
messages.
How I get all the Bitmojis from you.
Yeah.
Newton email. That's the email
app.
I
have to try this.
Them.
I'm not even familiar with this Newton.
It's got a lot of really great features. I've talked about them before. And then phone. So it's roughly organized.
I must have missed that show.
Sometimes.
I don't remember the Newton stuff.
Maybe I talked about it on the Screensavers.
Yeah.
I've talked about it.
Why do you like Newton Mail?
I like it has customizable swipe features. So it's even more like I can say I want to see this again in 3 hours.
I want to
see it again tomorrow.
You can give a message a timeout.
Yes. I like you can see the sender, more sender information. You click the sender and it has their website and any other information.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's nice.
I just like that it works similarly on my Mac.
It's a desktop as well.
Yes. Okay. I use it I like the keyboard shortcuts in the desktop.
I'm going to have to try it.
And I like what it looks like. Don't show my screen because I don't know what is in my email.
It's got a pretty, it looks prettier than Apple Mail. I just use the Apple Mail app.
Yeah.
For a long time I didn't, but I've come to appreciate Apple's Mail app. And it has the swipe. Everything now has swipe.
Yeah, but this is more customizable.
Not
you
a
can
3 hour.
Show my screen.
Can we show it now?
Okay. Yeah, there's nothing.
She's taking all the sexy stuff out.
Yes.
That's nice looking. Okay, let's see the swiping.
You. So I can, that pops up. I can say later 2 hours.
I was wondering how they handle that. Okay.
Day after Saturday. I've customized all of these. Yeah. So,
And then if swipe right is get rid of?
Swipe right is, I almost gave away all. Swipe right, a little right is archive.
Yeah.
And all the way right is delete. And with inbox for Google, they don't give you a delete on the swipe.
Yeah, everything's
archive.
It's just archive,
and that's such a mess because you fill up your email. So that's why I gave up inbox.
Their theory, it's funny because they really have a reason for that, is that you shouldn't delete email. That we're going to give you, this was when Google first came out with Gmail, we're going to give you so much storage, you'll just keep everything. If you archive it, you won't see it, but it'll still be searchable. And that's the point, I guess, is that, what was that thing Leo sent me 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. That way you have it all. But you're an inbox zero type.
Recently when I was mentioning that we had done that interview 10 years ago with someone.
You
in the
found
news,
it.
I found a conversation that I had with.
Perfect example.
Yes. It was from 2008.
Because we were talking on one of the other shows about this person. I don't remember.
It was Dana Loesch.
That's
the
right.
The NRA representative who was. And I was like, oh my gosh, she sounds familiar. I think we interviewed her Jumping Monkeys. And
we
looked it up and we did. Yeah. Jumping Monkeys episode 23 from 2008. She was a mommy blogger back before she's doing what she's doing now.
A long time ago.
Mm-hmm. And a homeschooler as our guests are today visiting.
I think that's why we interviewed her.
Yes, about tech and homeschooling.
Yeah.
So I found that from 2008.
See, that's why you want to save everything. Google's idea is to treat your email as a database of everything. And then you want to have it be searchable, so you wouldn't want to delete stuff from your database. On the other hand, you don't like messes, if you can't see the mess.
Well, that thing I just deleted was a notification of a HipChat that you sent.
There is plenty of stuff that you don't.
So like that's already saved in HipChat. I don't need that. So I don't even know why I get alerts from HipChat. So I think that is it. And I like the app that I use the most. Is Twitter, and that's right where my thumb is. So I think that's a little tip that I I always use whatever app you find that you are always needing. Just put
I it there. Did make this easier on myself by recently.
Look at your mess, Leo. Oh my gosh, turn off those badge notifications. They're making me anxious just looking at them.
I recently did something that was making, got rid of something that was making me anxious. I deleted Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I didn't want WhatsApp. I didn't want any Facebook apps on my phone because I don't want to participate in their ecosystem. And by the way, I didn't delete them like out of my life because I can go on the desktop and look at them. But I just found that I was getting up at night and looking at Facebook mm-hmm. or Twitter, and it was just a bad idea.
Okay, so was that it, or was it the data they were taking from your mobile phone that you were...
Well, in the case of Facebook, I was more I was also concerned about this information that I might be leaking to Facebook. So it was twofold, you know, and as it happens, it simplified my life, but it also simplified this list because that I would have had Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, would have taken three of these limited 10 slots. So I noticed you had Twitter, but you didn't have Facebook in there.
I don't have the Facebook app on my phone. I took that off long ago. I do have Instagram, but I have to swipe to get it. So it's there.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And so, yeah, these are all the
bury
other.
It a little bit. Yeah,
I definitely have other apps that I use on a not so daily basis, or I have this folder here, need to try. Like these are apps that I've downloaded that I want to try test out and use.
Oh, so you're very that. Organized.
Yeah, I am.
How many pages do you have total?
Oh, it looks like six. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six.
See, I find it problematic to have too many pages. What? By the way, is that a gorilla wallpaper you have there?
That's my dog, Gilbert.
Oh,
that's
I just saw the nose. That is a large nose.
It is. It's better
that's a
to
nose
smell
the size
with,
of
Leo.
A plum. A nice, ripe, slightly moist, mm-hmm. cold plum. All right, my top 10. You okay. went through that so fast. I might take a little longer because I like
can take as long as you want, but you got to promise me that you're going to turn off those badge notifications.
No, I like them.
Really?
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I do something else you probably hate. I have folders on my front page.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
Because I found I just, like I said, I have more than 150 apps on here, but I found that I really, there's a ton of them I use all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So and you're going to really hate this. The number one and number two app aren't on my first page.
What?
They're hidden back on page 3. I only have 3 pages.
Why?
Because this is the last page is my kind of tools page.
Ah.
And I also put them back here because I have this kind of crazy notion. Well, it'll make it a little bit more secure if people don't see the right up front when I turn on my phone that I have LastPass and Authy running. These are kind of, to me, must-have apps on every device. LastPass is my password vault. And we've talked about this before, mm-hmm. and you can have many of them. I love how it works with Face ID
now.
Me too. Isn't that great? Except in the middle of the night when you're trying to log into a site and your face is all squinched up and it doesn't recognize you. But this simplifies my login considerably, and I generate all my passwords with LastPass. That way I don't use the same password over and over again, and I don't have easy-to-memorize passwords. I have hard-to-memorize passwords because LastPass keeps track of all of those. We should mention they're going to be a sponsor.
Oh,
we've signed a deal with them. I'm thrilled about that.
Oh, great! Yeah, I use them too, but I don't use the app that often, like the app itself.
Well, I'll tell you why. You're right on Android I don't, but on iPhone it doesn't do automatic fill in as mm-hmm. it does on Android. So I have to if I'm logging into a site or an app. And by the way, this works for apps, but you still have to go back to LastPass, copy it. It's a lot easier now than it used to be because of the iPhone swipe, you can be in an app for login and then swipe back to LastPass, which is really handy.
But doesn't it usually bring up LastPass for you?
No.
You don't have to go to the app? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
I have to. Yeah. The other thing I use all the time is Authy, and we've talked about two-factor. You should always have two-factor on everything you do. Authy is the way I do that. And you can see these are all the accounts I have two-factor on, quite a few. And two-factor means in addition to a password, I'll have to give a 6-digit token code. And that has to come from this app. So those two apps are my kind of secure my stuff apps. They're so important. I put them top of the list. And I do use those every day. Let me go back to my front page, though. Here's one of the reasons I want a badge on there. Only Apple's calendar can have a date badge. Apple, you know, date and time can only be displayed by the Apple apps. They're the only apps that allow that. So your clock app shows the time. And if you had the Apple calendar, it'd show the date. So the way other apps get around, a lot of calendar apps get around that is with the badge. So this is the 27th. That's why I have a badge that says 27. It doesn't mean I have 27 appointments. This is the calendar app I use. It's called Fantastical. I use it on the desktop and on all iOS devices for a few reasons. I like the calendaring. I like the way it works. You see, there's a by month. Here's by week. It also gives me an agenda. But the best thing about this is it's really easy to enter stuff because you don't have to fill in fields. Lunch with Megan, 12:00/personal at Della Fattoria.
Oh, nice.
And so what it does is it interprets. Oops, it's still interpreting, so I should probably stop. It interprets what I said and turns it into 12:00. It did get the location at Della Fattoria. I might have to actually fill in, the address. But it did get the location. Slash personal supposedly puts it in my personal. It did. So you see, it has artificial, what do you call that? Natural language. It understands English. And so I don't want to have lunch with you, so I'm going to discard that event. Okay. So it makes it very easy. And there's another reason I do that, and that's another app that I use, which I'm going to show you in a second. So that's Fantastical. It's not free from the, I think it's the Icon Factory, but it's really a great calendar app, and I use it on everything. And one of the, there it is, FlexiBits, that's who does it, $5. And then it's a little more expensive for the desktop, but it also gives you great notifications. I have it in my notifications drawer. You know, you have that, the drawer of, what do you call that? Shortcuts or something? I don't know. So there it is, Fantastical. This is another way to judge, by the way, how important your apps are. If you give them space.
Widgets.
If you give them widgets, and I do indeed give Fantastical widgets. I also give Drafts pride of place. I talked about Drafts before. This is the weirdest program on the list. But Drafts is really handy, especially if you're an Apple Watch user. It works on all iOS, so it's iPad, Watch, and iPhone. I use it on my watch. I have a Drafts complication. You see it right here. Don't forget to bring in cheese and crackers for our cocktail party tonight.
With Megan.
It actually saw that. I'm going to say done. Now, that didn't process it. It just put it in a trusted inbox. And the inbox shows up in Drafts here and here. And then later I can, by the way, and I can add stuff by typing as well. The idea is you do the text entry quick and easy, and it all ends up in your inbox. Okay. And then if I call this back up, I can process it by sliding over here and sending it to my to-do list, my shopping. I have a whole bunch of things, Twitter, Google Plus, WordPress, a whole bunch of places I can send it. So in this case, I send it to Fantastical, and Fantastical will process it. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. And make it into an appointment. So it's a very quick way, for instance, to add appointments. You add them on your watch. You don't actually then pull up the calendar app. You just trust that it's in an inbox. And once a day, you go into Drafts and you process it. Oh, I got to get the Tech Guy Labs cert. Russell's been bothering me. So I'm going to put that in my reminder app. Done. It's in my reminder app. By the way, Reminders is one of the Apple apps I didn't include on this list because it comes with Apple. But it is, you see, a top row app because that's my to-do list. That's everything. And it really is important for me. I have a number of different categories. I have shopping to do, family recommendations, or what people tell me to read or watch, my suggestions for things I want to read or watch. I'm always doing that. Somebody will say, oh, you got to see the Homeland. Add Homeland to my read and watch list. And now it's in my inbox. And then tonight I'll process it, and I will.
Okay,
so that's Drafts.
I had Drafts on my homepage since you mentioned it. It was there waiting for me to enter all my important thoughts, and I never used it.
Yeah, you have. It's not something, first of all, it's not intuitive.
Right.
Because you say, well, I already have everything I use has data entry. I mean, that's just normal. So it's one of those things you have to figure out first how you might use it, and then second, you have to get in the habit of using it. what I needed was some way. I make commitments. We all do in our lives all the time. And a commitment, you want to keep your commitments, right? Obviously, that makes life better. My problem is I would make commitments and forget. I forget I told you I would bring that in. I would forget, you know. And so I needed a system where I would make the commitment. I would record it immediately on my Apple Watch. And then it would be stored in a place that was trustworthy, was safe, that I could later process it and put it in the most appropriate place. You can use it to send texts. You could use it to send emails. But, I mean, you might say, well, yeah, but you could do that with Siri. But the problem with that is, you have to think about what app you want to use. You have to launch that proper app or tell Siri the right thing. With drafts, you just dump it out of your mind. It's a getting things done mechanism. You just dump it out of your mind into a safe place to be stored, and then I can process it intelligently later in a very fast and efficient way. So you're right. I understand. And even when we talked about it, it was one of my app caps about a couple of months ago. It probably was baffling to people, and if you haven't, you have to use it every day to really kind of get. And but once you get in the habit of, anytime I make a commitment, or a lot of times you remember something like, oh god, I keep forgetting to clean the garage, or I have to change that light bulb, you think of it at a completely inopportune moment, and then it goes by, and then the times that you could get the light bulb to change the light bulb, so you want to put it in drafts. And then I use reminders with its location based pinging as well as a way to say, you know, next time you're at the hardware store, don't forget to pick up light bulbs, things like that.
Right. I use that all the time. And reminders I didn't put in my first page either, because I mostly just use my Apple Watch or Siri. Remind me when I get to Target to buy toilet paper.
I have it there because it's more than a to-do list. It's a reminder. The other, another app here, and by the way, I didn't include that in my top 10 only because I'm not putting Apple apps in there. And I'll show you at the end which Apple apps I have to have. Last week's app cap, full contact, you go back and watch the app cap if you want to know more about it. But it's, to me, better than Apple's contact manager. It pulls my contacts from everywhere. Facebook, LinkedIn, of course, Apple's contact list, my Google contact list. It merges duplicates. It adds pictures. It's really fantastic. And I showed you also it scans business cards. And I can get rid of, John has been very kindly, every time somebody gives me a business card, I didn't even know this, I'll throw it on my desk. And John's been collecting them. He gave me, you found the book I saw. He gave me, he's been collecting every business card I got. Now I'm going to go through and take pictures of them and add them to my contacts. So full contact is a great solution. That's not free. You pay depending on how many things you want it to do. But it's a really nice app. So that is on my, absolutely on my list. Another pick that I had mentioned as an app cap, that's also, I think, you know, my picks are kind of quirky. They come from maybe somebody who's been computing for too long, you know, not part of the digital generation, is DevonThink. DevonThink is kind of like an email for stuff you want to keep track of, notes, so forth. So I have, it looks like email. This is the top level. I'll go to research. There's an inbox. There's tags. There's things I want to research. There's, I can paste in there notes. I can type in notes. I can paste in links. I have a to-do list. I have a travel's probably the one I use the most. So upcoming trips, for instance, I know we're going to go to Japan in April. So I have been putting links in there, weather information, an overview. I put in tickets, PDFs, bookings. I have a diary that shows us day by day what we're going to be doing. And then when I get to these places, this is what we're scheduled to do. I can now edit it and add more, and this becomes a travel diary. So I don't know exactly how to describe DevonThink. Writers might use it to take notes for a project they're working on. It's kind of, it's a note-taking app, but it's structured a little bit more, perhaps like email. I don't know how to characterize it. I've been looking for a long time for something like this, and I ended up using DevonThink. Now, one of the reasons I like this also is it's a desktop application. That's mostly where you would work on this on your Mac. But then that synchronizes. It saves it to Dropbox encrypted, and it synchronizes, and they have an iOS version for both iPad and email. So here's, for instance, we're doing a little, Lisa and I are doing a little daydreaming about where we might want to retire. And so that's in our retirement group, and I have the different locations we're thinking about. This is years away. Don't get freaked out.
Do you need to add a note in there? Wait till my kids get through college?
Wait till Megan's kids get through college.
Yeah, my kids, yeah. Your kids are okay. So, I mean, Michael, too.
Yeah, Michael, too. Yeah, we're not retiring. We're not retiring yet. Now, but this is nice because it's very easy to use on the phone, but you can you'll also get it on your desktop and on your... And they're different apps, by the way. You have to pay a little extra. But I just find this very handy for... Like, here's the overview, and I can paste in images and things like that. So I just find this a very handy way for me... How would you describe that, to keep track of stuff I'm working on, I guess?
It's not like a mind mapper.
It's very primitive. I mean, it really is an old school application. It's a hierarchical database that looks a lot like email. So you have folders. There are various levels of the desktop application. At the highest level, the Devon Think Pro Office is $149. It has some additional features. That's the one I use. Like you can OCR PDFs, things like that. It's really designed for you to projects research, I guess, would be the best thing. It's something that not everybody will want. It's kind of old school, but I definitely use it. Now, another thing I use all the time, because I have an Android phone, and you're now a little more familiar with this, is Hangouts. Hangouts is Google's messaging app. And the only reason I have it on here is it's the one messaging app I have that works on everything. So it works on Android, it works on Windows, it works on Linux, it works on Mac OS, it works on iOS. So if somebody messages me, you know, I love messages, but it doesn't work across platform, right? So if somebody messages me on my main phone number, it'll show up in Hangouts. So that has to be on my phone, because it's one way I can keep track of people. And one of the things I like about it, like Apple's messages, is I can use it on the desktop as well. So sometimes if I get in long conversations, instead of typing on my phone, which I hate to do, I will go to the desktop and start typing on the screen. Google's Hangouts, that's unique to me, frankly. That's only because I use an Android device.
Yeah, I mean, messages will work with people with Android phones, but it's a problem when you go back and forth between Android and iOS, and then you're locked
I use both. And people who know me, like my family, will sometimes send a message to both my Apple phone number and my Google Voice number. That way it gets to both of them, and then they can't. Don't do that.
I already have like 10 email addresses over the years.
It's hard to reach me, and I make it that way on purpose. I really debated this. This is a sponsor, and I tried to keep sponsors out of this list because I can't live without my Audible, so I had to put it in here. This is an app that I literally launch every single day. These are books that I'm, you know, I have a lot of books. Let's show you what's on my device. These are books that I actually have downloaded on my device, because sometimes I'm in the mood to listen a little Zen Alan Watts, sometimes a little sci-fi William Gibson.
Have you listened to Lincoln and the Bardo?
Yes, Marco and I talked about that. Favorite book of all time. Highly recommend it, especially the Audible version of it. As Marco listened with your boys, your 12-year-olds, and they loved it.
Yeah.
Wonderful book. Here's the complete... This is... The complete George Smiley radio dramas from the BBC. Yeah. Just fantastic stuff. So that's my audio entertainment. You might say, but Leo, where's your music? Well, I do have music. And it really, to be fair, I should probably mention all the music apps, including Apple Music and my Sonos app and my Google Play Music and Pandora and everything.
What's that yellow one?
This one down here?
No, the yellow.
Genius? Yeah. Rap Genius.
Oh, so that's for the lyrics. Kendrick Lamar saying.
Can never remember what those guys are saying. I'm not good with lyrics. this is something, though, that you may not know about. It's called Vox, V-O-X. Oh. It's an alternative player for Apple's Macintosh and iOS. If you pay for the Loop library, it does the same thing as Apple's Music Match. You can upload all your songs to it. Actually, it doesn't really do the matching. It's just a database. So my entire library of downloaded music is on here, and I can listen. It's a very nice, very capable player, but I also, have all my songs on here. So I find this to be, a really nice app. It is an unusual app. If you're not crazy about iTunes, I think probably this should be in here. At least you should take a look at Vox. And I think there's a free trial on the desktop anyway, not obviously on iOS. But once you've got it on the desktop, you want it on iOS as well. And now my music library is everywhere. You see, though, it's not fair for me to say that's one of 10, but there's many. I use a lot of music apps. Similarly, I didn't include any nav apps in here.
Yeah, I just have maps.
I use them all. Google Maps as much as Apple Maps, but I didn't include that in here. My last is, of course, Google Photos. And you can see it's sitting right next to my Apple Photos. But I always put Google Photos on every device because of the backup. It's one more place to store my photos. They have free unlimited backup of all your photos. And when I take a photo, it'll automatically be uploaded to Google Photos and be available on all my devices. So I don't refer to it, don't open it a lot maybe, but I know every picture I've ever taken since 1999 is in there. I have 60,000, 70,000 images in there. They're all in there. They're categorized. I can search, so I don't have to, you know, do a lot of foldering and stuff like that. And most important to me, when I take a picture on any of my phones, and I use a lot of different phones, including the iPhone, it'll immediately upload there and it's backed up. So that's really important to me. I didn't include, I'll give you some bonus programs real quick.
Wait, I have a question before you move on from music. Why isn't Apple Music in the music folder?
You know, I blew it with Apple Music. I never joined. When I got the HomePod, I had to join. It's the only thing it really works with voice anyway. And I signed up for the family membership, and here's where I blew it. I told my kids.
So now all of the music.
So now I can't quit. I want to quit.
Yeah.
I don't like Apple Music. I think it's terrible, frankly. I don't like the interface. I'm not interested in Beats, the radio station. I only got it so I could use the HomePod. And then once I told the kids, now I have to do the family plan for the rest of my life. So it's on there, but it really doesn't, it shouldn't be on there. Probably Sonos is the app that should be on the front. That's the one I probably use most because when I listen at home, I'm often listening on Sonos.
Do you have to use the Sonos app? You can't talk to your Sonos.
You can. I have a way to talk to my Sonos, but
does it listen, or are you just talking to it?
I talk to it okay. And listens.
Okay.
And then Spotify, I'm having the same problem because I added Spotify for some other reason. I wanted to show the HomePod using Spotify, and now I have a membership to that. But I'm not telling my kids.
Don't tell them.
I'm not telling my kids. Amazon Shopping has to be on that list, but it couldn't be. Texture, another sponsor. Of course, that's on there. HipChat, you mentioned. We use HipChat to communicate at work, so I have to keep that running. I've mentioned this once before as an app cap, Elevate. I'm trying to keep from going senile.
Mm-hmm. You're doing a good job so far.
I'm trying to keep from going senile. Did I mention that I'm trying to keep from going senile?
Yep.
So I use this as brain training, and I do my brain training every single day religiously. Because I read an article that said the best way to avoid senility, is to practice speed drills. I do crossword puzzles and Sudoku and all that stuff, trying to keep my brain going. But the speed is important. And so this program is my favorite brain trainer, Elevate. It's not free. It's $99 a year. But it rewards you for speedy answers. So it encourages me, and it does. It has games in every possible area: writing, listening. I mentioned this before. I think speaking, reading, math. I just want to point out, I am elite in writing. I am elite in math.
The kids call it leet.
I'm leet. I'm spurt in speaking and reading. They don't probably call it spurt.
I don't know even what that is.
Expert.
Oh, spurt. Yeah,
spurt,
you should
right?
start that.
The kids, they call it spurt, and I'm advanced in listening. Listening, what a surprise. My worst. But that's why I work on it.
Mm-hmm.
I work on it.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So, yeah. And it gives you information about how you've performed, how much time you spent. I've spent 8 hours playing these silly games. So that's on there. Duolingo's on there because I'm trying to learn Japanese before we go. Sonos. But my top 10... Again, I'll just run through it. LastPass, Authy, Fantastical, Full Contact, Drafts, Devon Think, Hangouts, Audible, Vox, and Google Photos. And then if you include the Apple product programs, Messages, Mail, Reminders, Music, Phone, Camera, Safari, Photos, I use all of those all the time too.
So Google Photos is really our only one that we both...
The only one!
Yeah.
But I think this is really important because it shows that really this is a very personal device. Mm-hmm. And... you can use it as it came out of the box with just the stuff that's on the front page that Apple put there. And I think probably 50, 60, 70% of people just do that.
Mm-hmm.
They just use what's on there. But if you really use it as a tool, you end up making it your own. And that makes sense. Ours are very different.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I, you see, my, some of my stuff is kind of idiosyncratic. like drafts and Devin think. Because that I've after many years, we've been doing this a long time now, 10 years using an iPhone, I've finally come up with a workflow that suits the way I think.
And do you use 3D Touch at all on any of those apps? Is that something part of your head?
I always forget. Do you forget?
Yeah, I do. I mean, when I was doing this, I was looking at all of them and reminding myself, like with notes, you know, create a new note, that kind of thing. There are some good 3D Touch in Apple Music.
Well, see. Some of my stuff does. I didn't know that.
Oh, there is Apple Music search.
Devin Think has a search, global inbox, new note, new media. That's nice. That's handy. Drafts, I'm sure. Yeah, Drafts pulls up the same widget that you get on the widget screen, which
so
allows you.
So does Pocket Cast.
Yeah.
The Pocket Cast
I should have put Pocket Cast in there, too, because I actually do use that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Darn it.
I know. It's you forget. And also, you know, you can see, like, these are my Siri app suggestions. So these are actually what I really use, which is Poshmark, Amazon.
Oh.
So I don't have Poshmark or Amazon there because that's just shopping. I don't want to have those on my front page either because I really don't need to buy more stuff.
My Siri app suggestions.
Yeah. So it's like there are apps that I use pretty often that I specifically move off my front page because I would like to use them less.
I'm gonna
look. I have a draft widget. I'm trying to live my best life. My best life wants to use drafts. I know that it would be part of living my best life.
So here's what Siri app suggestions says. It's not any of the apps that I mentioned. Mm. Notes, which I've actually stopped using. Mm. I'll show you what I use instead of Apple's Notes. Plume and Eero are my two network because I'm always checking what's wrong with the network.
Yeah, Eero. I think I might move to the front because I have been using it lately as sort of a punishment tool, like disconnecting my kids' devices.
Yeah.
We should probably say that Eero is one of our sponsors.
Yes, we love them. That's very handy. But you can use that with your Amazon Echo. You could just say disable.
I haven't set that up. I need to set that up.
Photos is on there. I didn't mention, and I actually realized I didn't mention that instead of Apple's Notes, I use, but see, not everybody would know about this or even be able to use it, something called a DS Note, which is a Synology. I replaced Evernote. People might say, why isn't Evernote on your list? Yeah, Evernote's great. I replaced it with DevonThink and, for basic notes, DS Note, which is basically an Evernote clone, but it's instead of being stored on the Evernote server, it's stored on my Synology network-attached storage device. So, but that's not something – you'd have to have a Synology to be able to use that. But we didn't mention really note-taking apps. Do you have a note-taking app that you use?
I use Notes,
yeah.
But I don't use Evernote or anything like that.
Notes
I
is
use
sufficient.
My bullet. But my bullet journal is really handy. I can't scan things into it, and if I lose it, then my life is essentially over.
Well, and drafts for me I use drafts to take notes, and then I will send it to whatever note taking app
that's much more
want,
efficient,
including Notes, of course.
But yeah, so. I'll just tell my Apple Watch like remind me in 2 hours, and then hopefully in 2 hours I will be somewhere where I can write it in my bullet journal.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to our HomePod friend. First of all, I want to, maybe you know the answer to this. I somehow got some dirt on my HomePod. Where's the best place?
That's why
to
I got the
it?
Black one.
I know. Look, Kevin, can you take a look at
oh,
this?
Oh, you
place?
Got a smudge on
I
the
got,
front.
I got some schmutz on there. Is
oh,
that,
that's terrible.
How do I clean that off? That's my question to you out there, or you, Leo. I don't know. I think it was just from bringing it here. I stuck it in the trunk of my car.
Yeah.
I should have wrapped it up nicely.
Wow, that's a bummer.
Well, I
it really
put
spoils it.
I'll put it to the back. I'll wash it off. I'm sure someone will send me a tip. Okay, so last week we discussed the rings that the HomePod was appearing on wood tables and my own.
Yeah.
And I just put it on a stack of books. Burke heard my call and he burked something for me.
Good Lord.
It is a weight.
That will never have rings on it.
But it is also, he's used two microphone stands, I guess. He burked them together. And hey, Siri.
That is really perfect.
Hey, Siri. Play Bye Bye Birdie.
Really? You're listening to Bye Bye Birdie these days?
Okay. Here's the album, Bye Bye Birdie, original film soundtrack.
We'll turn it up.
Various artists.
Yes. Still sounds good.
Sounds better.
Okay, so
bye bye. Okay.
Also, So that's one.
So are
option.
We getting this back? Because I think this is made from stuff in the studio.
Yeah, I don't know. You got to talk to Burke about that.
We have extra.
That's extra? Okay.
Okay. It sounds different.
Does it does. I think it sounds better on the table. Sounds a lot that you don't get the bass.
Yeah.
Why are you listening to that?
Milo is trying out for Bye Bye
Birdie. Oh, he's trying out? Are they doing it at the
Cinnabar.
School?
Yep.
Oh, fun.
No, it's Cinnabar at the local
Cinnabar.
Theater. Yeah.
Oh, does he want to be Conrad Birdie, the Elvis clone?
No, he wants a smaller part. He has a big part now, and it's a lot of line learning.
It's too much work.
So, yeah. I'll let you know next week. He finds out callbacks.
This might work better.
This is, we've talked about this last week. Pat and Quill sent me this.
They sent you the coaster.
The HomePod coaster. It feels good. It's nice. And
actually, I have to take it back because I should have brought my shoe coasters that I get from the shoe company. This is much nicer. They've stitched it. There's actually it looks like a felt backing on it.
Yeah, it's soft.
Well, I guess it's leather too, but it'll protect your furniture. That's really nice.
Like, I feel like the Burke thing, the Burke cake stand, feels like it would maybe scratch up the wood too. But let's see.
Apple says you should put a HomePod on a solid surface. Probably better than.
What did you say?
on books, which you've been putting it on. So I think that that's a good.
Yeah.
Did you get any white rings on your books?
No, but here's the thing. The books made the white ring go away. Like, it wasn't a stain, actually. Like, it was just, I don't know what it was. It was like, but the ring went away. It's like, vaguely you can still see it, but I think it vibrated it off or something.
Yeah, I can't. So there a lot of reasons you get rings on wood furniture, obviously, but somebody said it's the silicone deliquescing.
Ah, of course, the deliquescing. Is that a thing? Or
yeah.
This is that, yeah. This the
so the silicone rubber is exuding some sort of oil.
Yeah.
But it might be not permanent on the wood. Mm-hmm. And Apple said that. It'll go away after a while, and they recommended polishing it with whatever polish your furniture manufacturer recommends.
That stuff off there. All right.
Don't remove the cord from your HomePod.
No.
I did.
And then
I regret it.
Did you send it back?
No, I was able to put it back, but now it's a little tilted like that.
Mm.
And we had Apple geniuses in the studio when I did it. They audibly gasped. And then they said, yeah, we really don't recommend you do that. And then I said, well, they said, yeah, you see, it doesn't go back very well. You probably should bring it in and get a replacement. But I didn't. It still works. They said, make sure it works fully before you, you know, because you should probably replace that. Mm-hmm. It's $35 to replace the cable.
Oh.
It's curiously supple.
It is very supple. Okay. Apple Repair is accidentally calling 911.
Yeah.
1,600 times. The motherboard says Apple
20
watches.
Times a day, they're calling the Elk Grove 911 Police Department. They say it's the watches.
That's what motherboard says. Apple says they're investigating.
Yeah, Apple doesn't. Somebody suggested that this is the Apple official Apple Repair Center, that they're getting phones that are locked, and the only way they can test a locked phone is by making an emergency call.
Oh.
I would think if that's what Apple's doing, they should knock that off right away. There must be a better way to test a phone. So motherboard's smart. They think it's the watch.
Well,
20 calls a day.
It's pretty easy to call 911 with the watch. Maybe they're just like, are the watches all being thrown in together?
Yeah, they
and
might
getting
be stacked in such a way that,
something?
Same thing with the phone, if you press and squeeze both buttons long enough.
Well, so you only have to push one button on the phone.
On the watch?
I mean, yeah, on the watch, just the big button on the watch.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a mystery, and even Apple says, well, we don't know, we're investigating.
Yeah, we're looking
but
at
it's a big problem for the Elk Grove Police Department, the 911 people, because it's tying up the lines. And, you know, if you're a 911 center and you get a call and there's nobody on the end, you can't just say, oh, misdial. You have to then listen for a while and then place a call back to that number, leave a voicemail. There's this whole thing. So it takes the operator many minutes to resolve that. Although, after reading that, I found out that actually spurious calls are really common. Even more so from landlines, that some significant percentage, I forgot what it was, we read it on Twitter on Sunday, I think it was 20 or 30% of all calls to 911 are mistakes from landlines, toddlers mashing the buttons and things. So this isn't actually a new problem for 911 call centers. I didn't realize.
And coming from the same place, that's new.
That's
especially
not good.
The most, you know, the
help, I've got a white ring on my furniture.
So as you know, I'm very into creating a charging station for, we talked about that on the screensavers, we talked about it on this show, and I asked
people. We actually showed charging stations on the new screensavers. Mm-hmm.
Check that out. It was 2 weeks ago. Very exciting stuff. Michael tweeted out a picture of his charging station, which is absolutely amazing. I think I have it on, let's see, here it is on my screen if you want to take a look at it. He says his furniture is mid-century modern.
Wow, either has a super big iPhone.
Yeah. So he created on a shelf these little chairs.
They look like my Dr. Evil chair.
Aren't they adorable?
And the phones sit in them.
A little painting. And
he's got a little dollhouse for his iPhone.
I know, isn't that great? Which actually, this appears to just be a shelf, but Burke and I have been discussing for know-how we are going to create.
I like this idea.
I know, we're going to create a dollhouse charging station for all your devices. So we're going to find an old dollhouse. Burke is going to Burke it into a charging station.
Does Burke have nothing to do?
No.
Are we not keeping him busy?
He's usually doing.
Oh, he does it in his spare time at home?
Sure. John says that because John's his boss. But
we're really starting to get the impression we're not keeping Burke very busy.
I am. Well, usually I come up to him and I'm like, I have this idea. Do you want to do this? And he's like,
Burke loves doing this, though.
Right. So I don't know what he's doing when I interrupt him from it, but whatever it is.
Obviously nothing important.
It can wait. Burke is amazing. This network of food would fall apart without him.
I think we all know that. He's basically our repair guy, right? I mean, he fixes anything that breaks. You need somebody like that because you can't be schlepping this stuff back to the repair center all the time. That's where Colleen found him many moons
Radio
ago.
Check.
But no, I used to use an analog mixer and it broke. This is way back. This is cottage days.
2009.
Yeah. And it broke. And Colleen found this guy, and I think he was in Daly City, who fixed it at some company. And she said, this guy's great. We should hire him. And we did.
I thought he was working at Radio Shack. We'll have to.
I don't think it was Radio
Shack. Is that
not
true?
No.
Oh.
It was an actual Radio Shack.
Got it.
Radios in it. There's Burke. We love Burke. He is adept. And I want doll furniture iPhone stands.
Okay,
we'll
be working on that. Padre already gave the okay, so that's a future project.
What does Padre do around here?
Also a good question.
Here we are, you and I, we're working hard doing shows, and these people are making dollhouse furniture.
I know. Goodness gracious.
Shocking.
All right, so remember last week we talked about Do Not Disturb.
DND.
And we wanted to figure out how to make groups that we could include in our Do Not Disturb. Remember? So, like, if you just wanted to, like.
This is so if people are calling you, you know, when you're driving down the road, you can have it say, don't answer calls unless either it's in your favorites. There's actually three ways somebody can get to you if you have Do Not Disturb turned on. If you turn on favorites, then your loved ones can get through. If you allow them to, and I don't. Double call. Say, call back if it's urgent, and the second call will go through.
You don't allow that?
No.
Oh, because you get lots of calls.
I don't want any calls. And then, haven't we talked about this before?
I know not
don't
to call you in an emergency.
Call me.
Ever.
I'm busy. And then the third one, but we couldn't figure out how to do it, is it says you can create a group that can get through. So
right.
You figured this out now.
Well, the chat room figured it out.
I think during the show we figured it out.
Right.
You have to do it on your desktop.
Mm-hmm. And then Gardner sent us a video. So I'm going to show you what it actually looks like. You have to do it on iCloud on the desktop. So allow calls. And I made a little group. My family. And then I also made a group of Twit Peeps. So I'm not going to let them allow. So you could add all your work people, all
that's
your family.
Nice.
And that's what it's going to look like.
So this is using the contacts grouping feature, but you just don't have that. They took it out of the feature on iOS, out of the contacts.
Right. Let's play Gardner's video there.
Let's see this. Gardner fellow, if that's his real name.
Hey, Megan and Leo, it's Gardner. On your February 20th show, you guys talked about Do Not Disturb and the use of groups. I thought I'd just give you a quick video to show you what it does look like when it's all connected up. What I've got here is you're seeing the groups on my iPhone on the screen right now. And you see in the middle, we have all allow nighttime calls. And I've added some people to that list that I want to be able to call me at night. Now, when I flip over to my settings app and I look at Do Not Disturb, and then in Do Not Disturb down towards the bottom, we have allow calls from. And you see there it shows up. You can see both some built-in lists and as well the three groups. And there I have allow nighttime calls selected. Just thought I'd pass that along. Thanks so much.
Nice.
Gardner.
Thank you, Gardner.
So also, Mark wrote in to explain this. Remember how we were like just flabbergasted that you couldn't go to iCloud.com on your phone? You had to do it on a desktop. And we said, I want to do it. You can. Mark said you could do it through the share sheet. So there, and then I go to, where is this? Oh, request desktop site.
Oh, you have to request the desktop site. Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
There I go, iCloud there you go. On that. Which it doesn't make a lot of sense on the iPhone, but on the iPad it makes more sense.
I forgot that you can always request a desktop site.
I never knew that. Yeah. That was new to me.
Yeah.
All right, so.
That's good. So now we know how to add the group, and you can even do it on an iOS device, mm-hmm. but you need the desktop iCloud account login to do that so that you can add groups and allow nighttime calls.
We also had a very interesting question from Mike.
What is the cutoff for nighttime calls, by the way? What do
nine.
You think? There was a whole Curb Your Enthusiasm episode on this. Nine, you think after nine is too late? Mm-hmm. Not 9:30?
Nope.
Not 10?
Nine. What do you think?
Some families it's eight. I don't want to, you know, it's funny. I told Abby, don't call me after eight. Because I might be asleep. Mm-hmm. I go to bed pretty early sometimes. Mm-hmm. What is your night? What is your nighttime Segovia family? What's your nighttime call? How late? How late can somebody call?
Well, yeah, 11.
11? That's because they're young 11. And healthy.
Yeah.
Eat dinner at 9.
You eat dinner at 9. Oh, they're European. Now I understand. Are you from Barcelona?
They're now from LA. I understand. LA.
Oh, LA. It's like Barcelona. Mm-hmm. It's the Barcelona of California.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mike writes, while enjoying the winter carnival in St. Paul, Minnesota, just before the Super Bowl, my wife and I were taking iPhone photos of the ice palace and sculptures. It was a cool 12 degrees Fahrenheit, and our iPhones both decided it was too cold being exposed for about 10 minutes and shut down. After warm-up, they restarted, and I signed in, but I wondered, as I shivered, entering my password, would an iPhone 10 recognize me and sign me in while my hand was shivering? I think Mike also gave us some pictures of the ice palace.
Ooh, pretty.
No, doesn't it make you feel cold?
I have never been anywhere cold enough to shut an iPhone down. I've been to places hot enough to shut an iPhone down.
I have. We go to Bozeman, Montana every winter, and it is often cold. It would sign me. I did have my iPhone 10. It would
still
sometimes
works.
Shut in, but the problem
face
is you want to be covering your face because it's so cold.
Oh, and so then you have can't to lift your you balaclava. Go, like,
yeah, exactly. It's a balaclava problem.
I just wouldn't understand.
The iPhone 10 is designed to work at temperatures between 32 degrees and 95 degrees Fahrenheit.
Freezing and hot. 95. Mm-hmm. But it only really happens to me if I'm in a car and I leave it in the sun. Then it'll say, no, I'm too hot. I'm going to have to turn myself
off. That happens.
Off.
Yeah, it happens.
That's just to protect the processor and the circuitry. You don't want it to be too hot or too cold.
Now is the time for us to wear hats.
Well, you know who picked these hats? These are very special hats picked by Zarian, who is here with his mom and dad. Mm-hmm. They're from L.A., you know.
Yes.
And, you know, it's interesting. You should pick this hat, Zarian. This is a Los Angeles Police Department's hat. It's a tax squad hat. So if you're ever in a riot in Los Angeles, this is a good thing to have, except I can't fasten it, which is probably also a good thing.
Yeah.
About that. You know, this was brought to me by somebody from the LAPD who's in the tax squad. And I guess maybe he was formerly of the tax squad.
Mine is from South Sydney.
Oh, I lost my strap.
Who the bunnies were last time, but I forgot already.
Always know where your strap is.
Don't lose your strap. So we're wearing caps because this is our app cap segment where we talk about a favorite app that we've been using.
Yes.
We've talked about that this whole show practically, but this is a new one. Shall I wait?
Till I get my helmet on? Yeah. I think, maybe. Depends on the app.
Okay. Mine is Alto's Odyssey.
Oh, yeah. I definitely need a helmet for that.
Yes, you do. You do. You have to buy one. I mean, not with real money, but with points. It's from Team Alto. You probably remember Alto's Adventure that was a few years ago. This is Alto's Odyssey. Instead of skiing or snowboarding, you're sandboarding.
Oh.
And just
you've traveled 3.1 miles.
I've gone pretty far. I've played. Oh, you wondered what Burke did. He also played this game for me. So I'm very advanced.
He wanted to advance it.
This is on the Apple TV. If you buy it, you buy it once. You can buy it on the Apple TV.
Oh, listen to the swoosh sound from the sand. That's neat.
And so I have to jump over.
Oh, you're playing this on the Apple TV?
I am. So I'm using the Apple TV remote.
It's the first time I've seen. Oh, look out for that rock.
I didn't last very long in that one. Don't hit the rocks. I was obviously just showing you.
This is perfect for the remote control in the Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
So, because you just swipe left, right? Or up, down?
You don't do anything.
You don't do anything.
Except for press the button to jump over
rocks.
That's
all you do.
Which I forgot to do. And flip. And so you have to, you know, there's a little physics involved. If you're going to do a flip, you got to start.
How do you flip?
In here. Get all the way over.
You just hold it?
Yeah.
Nice flip.
And you got to collect all the things. You got to jump up and you do tricks like backflips, or you get, I'm going to bounce off that balloon.
Boing.
And bounce. Oh, boing. Again. So there's
this
also
looks fun.
A beautiful. So soundtrack. Ooh.
Oh, don't worry.
Okay. So that's what it looks like.
Is this a relaxing game?
Do you want to relax? Because I'll show you the Zen mode. Let me show you the Zen.
I feel
Zen.
Like this could be stressful or relaxing.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's relaxing, but here's Zen mode here. So it becomes night. You have to catch lemurs.
Lemurs?
Yeah. Or, yes. In Alto's Adventure, it was llamas, but now it's lemurs. And I have something very exciting to tell you, Leo.
Now, are you playing the Zen mode or the regular mode?
Regular. Zen mode. So I'm not going to die no matter what happens.
Oh, but that's the only difference?
Yeah. And you don't collect coins. You don't die.
There's
no
to gain.
Race. You know, there's no. It's just.
And what's the kite following you for?
That's
is that a bird? Oh, that's a bird.
A desert bird. And you can jump up on the balloons, and it's quite a wonderful game. You
she
get
looks sad.
Better and better.
Is Alto a he or is she?
Alto I think starts as a he, but then apparently I have different characters because Burke's been playing this all night long. And now I have different characters, and I don't want to reset my progress.
No.
Let's see.
No.
Well, let's go to the workshop.
Oh, you can get a helmet.
So you can buy a helmet. This is not real money. It's just coins.
Chasm
that you
reduce,
collect.
Magnet
wingsuit,
timer. Oh, neat.
Mysterious radio.
Oh, I'd love a wingsuit.
You can get a sandboard.
Wow.
So iPhone,
oh, this
iPad,
looks fun. How much?
$4.99 for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV. You buy once.
One and all. I'm going to get this.
Done.
I like this.
And I have good news for you.
I had Alto's Adventure, so.
Yeah. Next week, one of the developers of Alto's Odyssey is going to come speak to us about the creation. Yes.
Oh, that'll be fun on this show?
On this show.
Oh, that's
it
great.
It took 3 years. So he's going to come and tell
that's
us
a
about
lot of work.
His toiled and why he did the things we did. I don't love Endless Runner games, but I really love this one. Like, I found that this is very soothing. My boys really liked it. Before I got to this level, I actually recorded Milo doing some because I thought, I could never get to.
Is he really good at it?
He is really good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I recorded his because I thought I would mess up. And so.
Here's Milo.
The very beginning of the game.
This is what a good player looks like.
Yeah. This is what a good 12-year-old who has different. I guess
dexterity.
Spends a lot
they grew
of time.
Up with this. They know how to use this stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there's a lot
I like
of cool.
The lightning.
Yeah, the design is beautiful. It's very reminds me a lot of that game. What's the pyramid game?
Journey?
No, the one that was so popular. What am I thinking?
Oh,
of?
Where
you turn around the pyramids and it was like Escher-like.
Yeah, that was fun.
Monument Valley.
Monument Valley.
I mean, it's not. The gameplay is very different than Monument Valley, but the graphics.
This is a whole category of apps. I think the beautiful iOS apps category. I don't know. But you're right. It's very much. They all have beautiful music, great graphics. They're native to the UI, which is something I really lobby for. It's why a lot of games that are brought over from other platforms don't work as well, I think, on iOS. You really have to understand that it's for touch.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know. which is why I am such a fan of my app, Cap.
Okay, let's see yours.
This is so not for touch. You couldn't be less for touch. This is really the antithesis of an iPad app. It's called Blink. And what I like about it, by the way, is it supports Face ID. It is a command line terminal program for iOS. Everything you do, you have to type. It's really for people who have logins to other computers. So if you're a sysadmin, if you run a shop, it's a real saving for me because there are things you can't do on an iMac, like run Emacs or Vim. But you might want to do, and now you can. This is actually the best terminal emulator for iOS. It works on the iPhone too, which is kind of cool, although a little harder to type on the iPhone than it is on an iPad. But if you have an iPad like I do with a keyboard, now you really have. Notice, by the way, they have the additional keys that you don't find on the Apple keyboard, like Escape, available here. You could turn that on or off. And the configuration is as appropriate from the command line. You could store your SSH keys in here, as I have. And what that does is it means you know, if you set up an SSH server so that you don't use a password, this is a much more secure way to log into it. I know people are going, what is he talking about? It has a variety of different themes. You could do WWDC, solarized.
Could you make it pink?
You could.
Okay.
And it comes with some very nice fonts for, you have to use fixed width fonts. It comes with my favorite, Fira Code, which I really like, but is also Source Code Pro and Menlo and Courier. You can change the font size. I like to have a fairly big font size, but on the phone you might want to have a smaller size and so forth.
You could hook your phone up to an external keyboard pretty easily, and
yeah.
You really needed to.
This is for me. I'll for instance, and by the way, it supports not only SSH but my favorite secure entering thing, Mosh, which is great for. Mosh is useful for mobile because I'm just going to log into my Minecraft server here. Mosh is great for mobile. Oh, I have to do it manually because I don't think I entered it in. This, by the way, it saves the keys and the logins and everything to iCloud, so you configure it once, and it'll be configured on all your iOS devices. Leo at, don't pay too much attention to this. That's all right, you can. Laporte.network. This is going to log me into, now don't pay attention to this, because I need a key password.
Wouldn't want anyone in your Minecraft server.
Yeah, this is for my Minecraft server, but it's also a Debian server, and so I'm logged into it now. It supports Tmux, supports automated logins. You can show it. You can show it now. So now I'm no longer on my iPad. I'm on, in fact, I can go over to my Minecraft server. Let's just see if anybody's playing the Minecraft. Let's see. I left the game recently. Let's see if there's another. This is another server and another server and another server. And so these are various servers running. I can stop the server. I can restart the server. This is a command line logged into a computer in my house. I could even run, if I wanted to, I think I have Emacs on here. Let me just see. I could run, So I can run Emacs. Did you ever think you'd ever want to run Emacs on your iPad? No, probably not. But you can. That's the point. You could if you wanted to.
What could I do on that?
Nothing. It's not for you. This is not for you. But it is very handy for people. I need to get in. This build is outdated. All right. Looks like. Oh. So that's one of my next tasks. And I can do it for my iPad, which is handy. I can rebuild my my server and so forth. And it looks like I need to do that in just a bit. So very handy. It is a very limited program. It's not for everybody. It's also expensive. It's $20. But it's an open source project. You can find out more at blink.sh. It is I've tried a number of terminals on iOS. And this is really the one. So if for some reason, this is really geeky, but if for some reason you want a terminal, and I could do Python programming on here because I'm logged in to a real server, I could do anything I could do. You're not going to get a GUI, but I could do anything I could do in the command line. So if I want to run Python, now I'm in Python. So that's kind of handy. So if you, this came up because on Twig on Wednesday, Kevin Toefel was talking about how he was using a Chromebook and he couldn't, and he wanted to do some programming, but he couldn't on his Chromebook, but he figured out how he could log into a Raspberry Pi. Well, you could do exactly the same thing if you wanted on iOS as well. Log in, do any kind of programming you want. It's not for a GUI, it's command line only. But if you know what a command line is and you like a command line, then you should definitely take a look at Blink, blink.sh. Not cheap, $20, but I decided I wanted to pay for it to support development.
Makes sense. There you have it.
There you do.
We've done it. iOS Today records every Tuesday at 9-ish a.m. Pacific.
Yep. Noon Eastern. That would be 1700 UTC. Although, soon... Well, in a couple of months, we're going to go back. Aren't we going to daylight savings time? Is it in April? Is it in April? I think it is.
I thought it was March. I don't know.
Soon.
We're going to spring forward.
I feel like I saw that on my calendar, on my Fantastical, that pretty soon we're going to spring forward. You should just understand, we change. UTC does not. Mm. But we change. March 11th. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's not far off.
No, it's
less than 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that?
No.
Winter just went by like that.
It's still wintry outside. It's
freezing in Petaluma.
It's like 50 degrees outside.
It's actually, I know people are laughing at us.
They are.
But this morning, it was when I woke up, it was 38 degrees outside. Feels like 32. That's actual cold weather.
Mm-hmm. But your iPhone did not stop working.
No, I was inside. I wouldn't go out there in that kind of weather. Freeze your nose off.
You can get our podcast. You can watch it. You can listen to it. You can watch and listen to it on whatever podcast catcher you have. You can watch on YouTube. You can ask your HomePod. You can also play the Flash Briefing, which is just a little bit of all of our shows, which is very exciting.
Yeah, add us to your Flash Briefing. If you use your Echo app on your phone, you can... I can't get this off. I'm going to be wearing it for the rest of the day.
I think last time I wore that, it suffocated.
It's very hard to get it off. But you don't want it to fall off in the middle of a riot.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can... what were we saying?
Flash Briefing.
Flash Briefing. You can add us to your Flash Briefing by going to your Echo app. Go to the Flash Briefing section and search for Twit. And what's nice is you get a little bit of all the different shows throughout the week. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here. And we will see you. This was a fun one. We'll see you next time on iOS Today. Bye-bye.